The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
Yesterday, my son and I and his dog went out for a walk, and when we came back, the radio was playing in the kitchen, and the song that was playing was "Mary, Did You Know?" The internet memes about that song always are, "Yes, she did. The angel told her." And, you know, the theology of that song may be a little questionable, but, you know, when you think about it, you know, we'll talk a little bit about what Mary knew. What did she think about it? When did she come to know about it? Our gospel reading begins in the sixth month. The sixth month of what? Well, we find that out earlier. Well, we find that out later in this passage, but we find that out earlier, actually, in Luke's gospel. After an introduction where Luke tells his readers what the purpose of his writing is, Luke tells us a story about a man named Zechariah and his wife, Elizabeth. Zechariah is a priest who lives in the hill country of Judah, you know, near Jerusalem, and he lives with his wife, Elizabeth. They're getting up in years, and they don't have any children. Luke tells us that Elizabeth is barren. Well, Zechariah, being a priest, is serving temple duty one day, along with his regiment of priests. And it's his turn to go burn incense in the inner part of the temple. So he's in the inner part of the temple lighting incense when the angel Gabriel appears to him and says, "You and your wife are going to have a baby. His name's going to be John. He's going to be set apart for the Lord. He's, you know, this, that, and the other." Zechariah is like, "That's not going to happen. My wife's old. I'm old. We haven't had any kids yet. This isn't going to happen." Gabriel says, "Well, it is going to happen. And because you didn't believe me, you're not going to say another word until the baby is born." Zechariah is struck mute. He finishes his temple duty, not seeing a word, goes home, not seeing a word, goes home to Elizabeth. She gets pregnant. 5 and change months later, the angel comes to Mary. Same angel. Mary asks the obvious question, how is this supposed to happen? I am a virgin. Mary obviously wonders the obvious question. Well, the angel says to her, first tells her about Elizabeth, and then he says, nothing will be impossible with God. Can you think of another time, a time in the Old Testament, when a barren woman was told, or her husband was told, that she was going to have a baby, and the messenger said, is anything impossible with God? In Genesis, we meet Abraham and Sarah. First, we meet them as Abram and Sarai, but they receive name changes. Shortly before, God tells Abraham, you will have a son, and his descendants will be as many as the stars in the sky. Of course, Abraham's a little skeptical of this. He and Sarah are old. They haven't had children yet. She seems to be barren. And then 3 visitors come to his home, and they tell him again, when we come back at this time next year, you're going to have a son with Sarah. Sarah overhears this and laughs. She's like, that's not going to happen. The messengers overhear her laughing and say to Abraham, is anything impossible with God? Gabriel tells Mary that her son will be set apart, that he will reign over the house of Jacob, that he will be great. There's another, and Gabriel also tells Zechariah that the son he will have with Elizabeth will be set apart to serve God. There's another pregnancy in the Old Testament, or another barren woman in the Old Testament. Her name is Hannah. She is one of the 2 wives of a man named Elkanah. 1 year, Elkanah and his 2 wives go to Jerusalem to do their annual sacrifice. Hannah is sad because she has no children. And she's especially sad because Elkanah's other wife, Penina, is popping out kids right and left and is lording it over Hannah because she's fertile and Hannah's not. Hannah prays silently before God, praying her heart out for a son and saying, Lord, if you give me a son, I will set him apart before God. He will be devoted to you. The priest Eli sees this woman praying, thinks she's drunk or has lost her mind. But no, she's just praying so fervently that she acts like she's drunk or crazy. And Eli says, when Eli realizes that she's just praying fervently, he says, you know, let the Lord grant you what you are praying for. She gives birth to a child, names him Samuel, and when he's old enough, she takes him to the temple and puts him in Eli's care, devotes him to the Lord. 3 impossible pregnancies, and now there's a 4th one. Mary has to think about this. This doesn't make any sense. But Gabriel has essentially told her in this short passage of three impossible pregnancies. Elizabeth's impossible pregnancy, obviously by just flat out telling her. Sarah's impossible pregnancy, for nothing will be impossible with God. Hannah's impossible pregnancy, by referencing that Mary's son will be set apart to serve God, just as Hannah's son was set apart to serve God. Three impossible pregnancies. Mary's still a little confused, but she accepts this. This is the next part of her seeking to understand. Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to her word. She doesn't fully understand what's going on yet. You know, the angel has told her this thing that seems impossible is going to happen. But she doesn't fully understand what's going to come of this completely. Let it be with me according to your word. But she accepts this, and she consents to it. Much like Old Testament prophets like Isaiah accepted and consented to their call. Isaiah, Jeremiah. Moses had to be drugged, kicking and screaming, but he eventually consented to his call. In our opening hymn this morning, we sing, "You, Mary, consented and conceiving, brought to birth the Son of God." Now, last week, our responsive reading was Canticle 15, the Magnificat, Mary's glorious hymn of praise to God. Mary doesn't sing the Magnificat yet. She doesn't sing it in this passage. After this passage, after the angel departs, she decides it's time to go see Elizabeth. Elizabeth is a relative of hers. Now, Mary's up in Nazareth, up in Galilee. Elizabeth, like I said earlier, is in the hill country of Judea. Probably about, well, it would be like 70 air miles away, but in terms of actual routes that would be taken to get there, probably more like 85, 90 miles, several days' journey. But Mary gets ready to go. She goes down to the hill country of Judea, where Elizabeth lives, to see her cousin, and probably to kind of see for herself. Is what the angel Gabriel told me, is that the truth? When she gets there, Elizabeth greets her, and Luke tells us that the baby that Elizabeth is 5 and whatever months pregnant with leaps for joy in Elizabeth's womb. And Elizabeth recognizes that something glorious is happening. You know, not just her own pregnancy, but something else glorious is happening. And Mary starts to realize that this is real, that this is God working within her and through her and through the baby that she has just become pregnant with. And so she sings that glorious hymn of praise that we recited last week. Is Mary done understanding what's happening? The third verse of our hymn says that she's not really done yet. Mary, first among disciples, listening, learning from your son, you held dear his words and actions, pondering each, forgetting none. Luke goes on to tell us in chapter 2 about Simeon when Mary and Joseph brought their offerings of purification, Simeon singing his song of praise, of Anna giving her blessing, and Mary pondering those things. Of Jesus when he was age 12, going missing when Mary and Joseph and the caravan were heading back up to Nazareth. They turn back, they find him in the temple in Jerusalem, hanging out with the priests and scribes and sounding more learned than any of them. Mary scolds him. Jesus says, well, shouldn't I be in my father's house? And Mary considers that and ponders that in her heart. Mary spends her entire life learning and wondering about this child that she was giving the blessing and honor of bearing. So did Mary know? The angel told her. She didn't know everything when the angel told her. But she knew enough when the angel told her to step out in faith, to consent to what God was calling her to do, to accept what God was calling her to do, and to be the mother of the living Christ. The hymn says, Mother now of all disciples, help us listen day by day, open to the Spirit's prompting, help us follow Jesus' way. Mother now of all disciples, help us listen day by day, open to the Spirit's prompting, help us follow Jesus' way. Amen.